位请起立 ，please rise。
请合掌 ，please join your palms。我们向上一文询 bow。我们向法师一问询 ，bow。各位请坐 ，please have a seat。
Begin with the verse for beginning the sutra discourse. I think all of you have it in your hands. And if it's not familiar to you, the meaning, that's fine. Actually, one of the purposes of reciting this before the Dharma talk is actually so that we can calm our minds a bit and just set our minds on reciting the words themselves.
大家早，在我们讲经之前，我们先要诵开经节。开经节，如果你不太懂它的意思没有关系。事实上，诵开经节的目的是让我们的心能够安住在我们诵的这个经节上。
So when we recite this time, let's recite the whole thing in English first, and then we'll recite the whole thing.In Chinese afterwards. This way it's a bit smoother.
我们先诵英文整个节诵完，然后再诵中文。
So please join palms and recite after me.
请合掌，跟着我念。
The unsurpassed, profound, and sublime Dharma is difficult to encounter even in a billion eons.Today we see, hear, receive, and uphold it, vowing to fathom the true meaning of the Tathagata.
无上甚深微妙法，海千万劫难遭遇。我今见闻得受持，愿解如来真实义。
So welcome everyone. If this is your first time here, I have a special welcome to you as well.
欢迎大家。如果今天是你第一次来听演讲的话，特别欢迎你们。
And also, I think today's talk is broadcast on the web, so we have possibly lots of people watching with us.
同时呢，今天的演讲呢，会在网上同步进行的播出来，所以虽然在这里就是说会有更多的人听这一场的演讲，虽然他们本身不在这个寺庙里。
So especially since today is Easter Sunday, right? And well, maybe if you're Buddhist, you don't really celebrate Easter, but maybe you eat some candy or.Anybody eat candy today, especially? Or maybe you visit relatives, or relatives come to visit you. So I wasn't sure if there'd be many people here for today's talk or not.
今天正巧是基督教的复活节，所以呢大家基督教很多都会特别这个庆祝这个节日。一般人如果不是基督教也会庆祝这个节日啊，吃糖啊，或是去参拜他们自己的家人。
And one thing which I always found very interesting, I don't know the story of like the common Easter celebration with the bunny thing. The Easter bunny and the eggs, I still don't understand it. I have to research the story a bit more. But has anybody ever seen in real life a bunny with eggs, colored eggs?
谈到这个复活节哈，我对这个节的这个庆祝的方式哈，那个复活节的那个兔子，然后有的还有彩蛋，我一直不太了解，就是请问大家有没有看过真的这个兔子，对复活节的这个兔子跟这个彩蛋在一起。
And when we were kids, we used to eat lots of candy, of course, and chocolate. And sometimes we, you know, colored real eggs. Sometimes we just put fake eggs out, you know, fill them with candy. And even in college we did that. I think it was senior year of college. We all went to the park, hid eggs, and searched for them. And we found the eggs, but we never found any bunny.
这个我小的时候我的家人也是这样庆祝的，就小的时候当然吃很多糖，因为巧克力糖各种的糖，长大了即使到了大学我还是跟着一起庆祝，可是每次去找那个找蛋的时候呢，我从来都没有看过这个兔子。
And actually there's an analogy in the Platform SutraUsing a rabbit, do you remember that?
谈到这个兔子，事实上，这个《六祖坛经》里面曾经用过兔子做过比喻，知道人记得吗
？What is it? I think the verse, the full verse, is from the formless verse, right? The Wu Xiang Song. And in the verse, it says, "Looking for awakening."Outside of the world, or outside of everyday life, is like looking for what? A rabbit with horns.
这个在《坛经》里面的无相颂提到，如果一个人要去身外找智慧的话，就好像是在要在兔子的头上找角。
So.I think both are impossible, huh? It's impossible to find a rabbit with eggs, of course. It's impossible to find a rabbit with horns.
这两者是都是不可能的事情。一个是，
It's a rabbit with eggs.
哦，要这个。找这个兔子，在这个彩蛋里面找兔子是不可能的事情，同时在找这个兔子脚头上的脚也是不可能的事情。
So one of the main messages from the whole Platform Sutra is that if we're looking for awakening, or you could say if we are looking for insightful living and insightful lifestyle, it's within our own very daily lives.
这禅经上所教导我们的意思是说，如果我们从心外去找所谓的智慧的话，如果真的我们要找智慧的话，要得智慧的话，必须要在我们的当下的生活里找。
So, one message in which he's teaching within the sutra is that practice is for everyone.This Buddhist practice, Chan practice, is for everyone. It's not only for monastics, it's not only for people living in the woods, doing a solitary retreat. The practice is for everyone.
所以说修行并不只是一个佛教徒的事情，其实是跟任何人都是有关系的，我们都可以受益的。
Do you believe that? Do you believe that you yourself can practice?
你相不相信你自己可以修行？
You sure? Only about half nodded yes. The other half maybe, think about it.
在座各位只有一半的人点头，另外一半的好像不太确定。
And actually,I think it's natural for all of us when we encounter a kind of a practice, when we encounter this chan practice, it may seem kind of very far from us sometimes. Especially if you've ever read the Platform Sutra, it may seem like it's very far away. The practice is almost ungraspable.
事实上，这是很普遍的现象。一般人如果从来没有听闻佛法，或者是看过《坛经》里面所讲的一些法义的话，对于这个修行，本身是不太清楚，而且不太确认能不能够做的事。
So, in sharing about the Platform Sutra with everyone today, I'm going to share on the chapter about wisdom in particular, the Prajna Borapin chapter.
所以今天我要跟大家分享的就是《坛经》里面的般若品所讲的就是智慧。
And why? Well, I found that it's not a long chapter, it's not a long text, but I found it's very complete in that the Dharma teaching that the patriarch gave includes all of the tools or all of the concepts for someone to be able to practice.
原因是因为我发现这一品呢，它的内容非常的完整，不但是告诉我们这个教义，同时也教我们修行的方法，如何去用这关于智慧，所以我选了这一品。
So starting with the first thing we were discussing about confidence, do we have confidence to practice? Do we have the confidence that we ourselves can live insightfully. Master Huineng, he talks about a few topics. The first one being just that, confidence. The second being the concepts, the conceptual understanding that we should have about practice. The third would be attitude. What kind of attitude should we have towards the practice? The next is method. What's the actual method?How do we practice? How do we apply it? And the next is in daily life. How do we make use of these teachings? And what is the result? And all of this is talked about in the Platform Sutra. And I found it's a wonderful chapter and very complete. So I decided to share it with everyone today.
比如说这一品呢，第一个提到的是关于信心，就会问大家对自己有没有信心，自己相不相信能够修行，同时能够生活在一个充满智慧的这个原则下生活。第二个就是告诉我们一些必须要清楚的一些佛法的观念。第三个呢是一种修行的态度应该是什么样子。第四提到的就是一些方法如何的修行。第五呢，如何在生活上用到这些方法，然后如果用到了这些方法的话，那的结果是什么？所以在这一品都有牵涉到这几点。
So is everybody interested in listening? Okay, good. So I feel good to talk then.
听到这里，大家是不是很有兴趣？好像 有大部分人都点头了我很高兴。
So, and in talking about the sutra, I'd like to also take a few key quotes from the sutra and just expand upon them.
not talk about line by line, but actually just kind of grab the essential points that the sixth patriarch is teaching about.
接下来要跟大家分享的就是几个从这一题里面，我选出来的几句这个六祖大师讲的话。
So in talking about confidence, because I think the audience that he was talking to also may have had some doubts. The audience at the time consisted of not only monastic practitioners, but it consisted of the local, they called them magistrates at that time, local government officials, also including Confucian scholars, also including Taoist practitioners,and people from town. It was a larger group of people, and you could say a variety of people came to hear this talk. And I think within that crowd, there were also people who were wondering, well, is practice for me? Can I practice? Do I have what it takes? Or is it possible for me to live in an awakened way?
第一个提到的是信心。当时来听慧能大师讲这个谈经的这个人呢，里面包括各种不同身份的人，有的是是出家众，在家众里呢，有的是官员，或是地方官员，有的呢是孔孟或是道家的学者，还有一些呢就是住在当地的一些佛教徒。那在这些人里面呢，他感觉到这些人有一种对自己不太有信心的一种现象，所以他提出来的第一个就是信心。因为他感觉得到这个年轻的观众里面呢，有的人会感觉到说有这些疑问，我能够修行吗？我有这个能力或者有这种条件修行吗？我真的能够修行以后过一个像有智慧大智慧的人的这样子的自如的生活吗？他有所以这些的疑问在来听的这些听众里面都有浮现出来。
So in the very beginning of this chapter on Prajna, he tells the audience, he tells everyone that the wisdom of awakening is actually something thatall people possess.
所以一开始慧能大师就跟听法的听众说，事实上这个菩提，他说的是这样子，菩提般若之智，世人本自有之。也就是说每一个人都有菩提的智慧。
He went on to say that this wisdom of awakening, which is also referred to as Buddha nature, you've heard that term, Buddha nature, refers to wisdom, another term, this wisdom of awakening. He said it's not any different in wise people or in so-called ignorant people.
他接着又说愚人、智人、佛性本无差别。
He also went on to say that this wisdom of, there's the term prajna, that's also another term for wisdom. This is a Sanskrit term. This prajna wisdom comes from within one's own self nature and not from someplace outside.
同时他又说一般般若智从自性而生，不从外入。
So in saying these things, he's instilling confidence in all of the people, in that, well, although they may experience vexations at this point, although they may think of themselves as not so wise people, or we may feel that I have all these problems, you know, practice isn't really for me. I'll go and listen, but maybe I don't know. I'm up to practicing just yet. Let me just listen. Or we may feel that the wise people, the wise practitioners who we know of, the great teachers, including the Buddha himself, the teachers throughout history, as well as our modern masters and our own teacher, like Shifu, we may think, well, they have something. They have something special. They have this wisdom, but I don't have that. That's something they have. And it's kind of, it may seem out of reach. And Master Hui Nanya here is instilling the confidence in everyone, saying, well, whether a person is so-called ignorant or wise, this wisdom of awakening or this Buddha nature is the same in all of them, in all of those people.
慧能大师为了要跟这个来听法的人建立他们的信心，他就跟他们说这样子的话，啊，基本上也就是告诉这些人呢，打破他们的一些对自我的一些怀疑，就是说有的人会这么想说，啊，我是一个非常有烦恼重，非常烦恼非常重的人，不太可能，是不可能，能够像那些大法师，或者是得道的高僧，或者像佛，或者像师父那样子的人，他们是可能有特别的不同，跟我不同的一些品质，他们有一些特别，他们的智慧会比我更高，所以我不可能会修行，能够修到像他们那样子，或是得到所谓的智慧，那慧能大师就这样子告诉他们说，事实上所谓的这个佛性，所谓佛性是人人都有的，不管你是你现在是还是有烦恼，或是没有烦恼，这个佛性本身你本质具有，所以他是这样子能够帮助这些人建立信心起来，所以告诉他们还是可以继续修行。
But maybe some of us feel that we can practice, you know, we have confidence that, well, I can practice, but enlightenment, I don't know about that.I'll practice, but I'll leave enlightenment for the, leave it for the monastics, or leave it for the great masters. And Buddhahood, that's just, no need to talk about that, that's too far. Buddhahood's for other people. So it's possible that, although we have the confidence to practice, there may be another kind of limitation, or some kind of block, which prevents us from truly committing ourselves to the practice, truly putting all of our effort into the practice.
另外也有可能就是说，虽然对这个修行佛法有一些信心，可是这个信心呢是有局限的，觉得说哦我是有信心，可是呢至于开悟对我来讲可能不太可能，我这次开悟这个事情哈，是出家人的事情，跟我可能没有什么相关哈，而成佛那真的是这个遥不可及的事情，根本就不用想。虽然我有信心我可以修行，可是至于说我能够修行到这个开悟成佛，那是不太可能的事情，所以就是说虽然是有信心，可是这个信心呢被局限了，或是被障碍住了，只是到了一个程度而已。
And so Master Hui Nan again, he wants to instill confidence in the people. So he says, actually, in using wisdom to break up our vexations,You can definitely become a Buddha.
所以慧能大师就这样跟他们说，用大智慧打破烦恼，如此修行定成佛道。就是说，你能够用这个智慧来破除你的烦恼的话，你就可以成佛。
Of course, he didn't say, you know, tomorrow you can become a Buddha. But he says, as long as you practice, as long as you follow in this direction and practice, eventually.You will realize Buddha.
当然，他没有说你明天就会成佛，可是他说，你只要照着佛教我们的方法，一直不懈怠的，一直去修行，总有一天你会成佛的。
You may think, well, what's so great about being a Buddha? Well, again, just to remind everyone, a Buddha just is someone with wisdom which is complete. They have no more, you could say, mental problems or difficulties.No more anxieties, no more worries, no more of these troubles that we all find ourselves in. And at the same time, they have, you could say, perfect and complete compassion, or they have the perfect abilities, or the perfect skills needed in order to help others also realize a life of wisdom and awakening.
那你就会问，成佛到底有什么好处啊？现在就要解释一下，这个佛的意思是说，这个他已经是智慧圆满。那智慧圆满又是什么意思呢？智慧圆满的意思就是说，他不再会对一些身心方面起烦恼啊，不再有一些压力啊，或是一些担忧啊，这些是完全都没有的。不但是没有这些，同时表现出来的是一个完整的一种慈悲啊，这种慈悲是能够很技巧的方式来帮助任何需要帮助的众生。
So this is this first aspect of instilling confidence in people that Master Huineng talked about. He said these few words to instill confidence and to hope that his audience, now having this confidence, they need the next step, which is a correct understanding of the practice.
所以第一步呢，它是建立，给我们建立信心。接下来呢，要讲的就是观念。因为你的信心建立起来呢，你必须要知道用什么样的观念来修行佛法。
I think it's natural also for some of us to have confidence, which just comes from, it's more emotional. It's kind of we hear the Dharma, or we see the Dharma being spoken by someone, and we're moved by that, and we have a kind of faith, a kind of confidence. But also,to strengthen this confidence, to make it not just a kind of emotional thing, or a reaction, we need to have a more mature kind of understanding of the practice, an understanding of the Dharma itself, to have a stronger and more stable confidence.
讲到信心呢，有的人他对这个佛法的信心建立的是因为他听到或是看到一些得到的高僧讲的一些佛法，所以他会起一种情绪上的一种反应，这种反应让他很感动感动了以后他就建立一种对这个高僧或是佛所说的一些法产生了一些信心，或是一种宗教的一种信仰。那这些呢必须要转化成一种比较成熟性的一种信心，那这就必须要经由对观念上的了解来建立。
So Master Huineng goes on to talk about the meaning of wisdom, and he starts the Dharma talk introducing the Sanskrit term, which is Maha Prajna Paramita. And I think you've heard this before, especially if you've been coming for Venerable Guoxiang's Dharma talks. Is that right?Maha Prajna Paramita, and it's of course in relation to the Heart Sutra, this term is also used.
讲到观念，他提到的讲智慧，就是先提的就是摩诃、般若、波罗蜜，它的意思。我想在座的如果听过果祥法师开示的话，讲心经的时候，应该对这个摩诃、般若、波罗蜜应该了解它的意思。
But I'll briefly go over this term again, and I'll use the analogies and explanation that the sixth patriarch used.
我简单的跟大家再介绍一下摩诃般若波罗蜜它的意思，同时引用六祖坛经慧能大师所用的一些名词。
We can start with the first part, which is Maha. In Chinese is Moha. And Maha means what? Great. You mean big? It could mean great.
第一个摩诃的意思就是大的意思。
And Master Huineng, he uses the analogy of empty space to illustrate the greatness of what wisdom is. And you could say, well, what's so great about empty space? And interestingly, in the sutra he says, well, when I talk about being as great as empty space, don't just think of it as being nothingness or some kind of just voidness, just empty space itself. But actually, the greatness of empty space is what? That it contains everything. Empty space is not just empty space itself, but empty space is containing everything. Containing everything, as he mentions, you know, from the stars, the moon, the earth, everything on the earth, good people, bad people, animals, rocks, Easter bunnies, bunnies with horns, everything is contained within empty space. And he says that this is the greatness of empty space, is that it has this potential to contain everything, and it's limitless. You can't fill up empty space.
提到这个大，那个慧能大师解释是一种用一种比喻，就像虚空一样，它的这个范围就像虚空一样的广大。听到这个虚空这个字，请大家不要想这个虚空好像里面就是空洞洞的，什么都没有。事实上，这个虚空它的大的意思是说，虚空能够包容许多许多的东西，比如说天空上的星星、月亮，或是这个地球，或是地球里面的一些好人、坏人，或是各种各样的动物、众生，就像复活节的这个兔子也在里面。所以这个大的意思是表示无穷无尽的意思。
And he says our minds should be just as great, just as encompassing, or just as all-inclusive as empty space.
而我们的心也要像这个虚空一样，这样子的无穷无尽，这样子的宽阔，能够包含一切。
And how do we do that? How do we make our minds like empty space? Well, we can talk about that in just a bit.
那如何能够做到这样子呢？我们待会儿再讲。
Just to continue introducing this word, Maha Prajna Paramita. The second word, Prajna, as we mentioned before, means wisdom. And Master Hui Nam, his explanation of what is wisdom, do you know what he said? Just don't be ignorant.
第二个这个是般若。这般若的意思就是智慧。当问说什么是智慧呢？慧能大师说：“不要无明就是智慧喽。”
He says just all the time, not being ignorant, this is wisdom.
在无时无刻当中都没有无明，这就是智慧。
And I think at this part we could add a little bit more explanation because in this sutra, although he talks about the meaning of ignorance, it's not in such detail.So when I first read this, I thought, well, thanks. Thanks for telling me. Don't be ignorant. But how? What is really ignorance referred to? So we can describe ignorance or explain ignorance.
讲起来很容易，就不要无明。那我第一次听到的时候说，啊，谢谢你，不要无明。那什么意思呢？所以这个无明必须要解释一下。
And in talking about ignorance, Buddha Dharma's definition of ignorance is different than the common understanding we may think. Ignorance is, well, just not knowing something. It's kind of like if somebody makes a mistake, we say, oh, it's okay, they were ignorant, they didn't know. Or if little kids do something, we say, oh, they're ignorant, they don't know what's happening, they don't know any better. But of course, that's not the meaning of ignorance in the context of Buddha Dharma.
提到无明这个词，一般人的用字，一般世俗的人用的好像就是说不知道的意思。比如说小孩子做错事，哦，他就是无知，他不知道。可是佛法所说的这个无明呢，跟这个无知不一样。
And we can use two Chinese characters to introduce this term. And we often see these in many different.Buddhist scriptures or teachings, and these characters are Wang Nian. In English, you can translate it roughly as misperception. But what's interesting about these characters, Wang Nian, again, a common usage of this in Chinese, if I'm correct, please correct me, the term Wang Nian or Wang Xiang is sometimes used in everyday life to just kind of say that, you know, that's absurd. You know, for example, if someone says, you know, I'm going to be rich, you know, you see, you watch, I'm going to be rich one day, and you may say to him, Wang Xiang, 再打了妄念, and he says, that's absurd, you know, you, rich? I don't think so. So that term is often used to say someone's thoughts or someone's schemes or grand plans are absurd.
用两个中文的名词来解释无明，第一个呢是妄念，妄念的这个解释就是说，对于这个有种不正确的一种看法，这就是妄念。那我对这个妄念这个中文这个认识也许会错误，不过我是这么认为。 这妄念这个名词的意思就是说，好像比如说有一天你的朋友告诉我，我要想要买一个很漂亮的房子，虽然或者怎么，那你就会跟他说，你别再打这个妄想了，这个就是说一种不事实、不真实的一种不切实际的一种观念。
So usually this term is used to kind of say that this person's thinking in a very, you know, absurd way. And this term in this sense is an exaggeration. Their thoughts are just an exaggeration or absurd. But the Buddhist usage of this term is a little bit different. And it actually includes this, but you could say it's even more specific with the meaning of this wang nian, or misperception, or sometimes you may have seen it translated as deluded thought. Some other places they translate it as wandering thought. And the meaning in the Buddhist context, actually, it's not that, it's an absurd dream or absurd scheme, but actually it refers to the fact that we mistake thoughts. As people or as sentient beings, we mistake the phenomenon of the mind, which refers to thoughts, images, impressions of the mind. We mistake these things as being real, actual things outside of us or ourselves. So this meaning of misperception is actually mistaking our perception for some kind of reality.
这个妄念呢，在世俗上的解释跟这个佛法的解释，在妄念上有一些差入。事实上，佛法解释妄念呢，包括世俗上所谓的这种不真实的一种幻想，一种梦想，其实是包括在里面的。那妄念对这个由佛法的观念来解释呢，有的时候会解释说是一种杂念或一种幻想。 或者这种妄念，这些曾经都有用过，这些字来解释所谓的妄念。那事实上呢，所谓的妄念呢，是说对于世俗间的一些看法，我们有错误的观念，我们看世俗间的一切人事物呢，或是我们头脑一些想法，或是我们自己浮现出来的一些影像，我们把它当成是真实。 不但是当成是真实，而且是当成是我们自己或者是我们身外之物，而认为这些东西是一直都存在不变的。这种这是在佛法解释是说，是对于这个一些错误的一些观念还有看法还有认知，这叫做妄念。
And basically, in terms of this explanation of Buddha Dharma, the most basic misperception is that we misperceive that there is a self and there is a world of others.
基本来说，最 基本的一种错误的一种观啊，我们的一种认知，就是说认知有一个自我，同时呢有一个自我以外的这些是人。
It's possible that I'm first hearing that, and even after we've heard it 1,000 times, that sounds absurd.
这些话当第一次听了，或是听了1000遍，总是觉得很奇怪，好像觉得很无理取闹。
No self, I'm here. No other, you're there. How could there be no self or no other? You may have that kind of reaction.Even after hearing these teachings for a long time, we may still have this kind of reaction against that hearing that no self, no other. What does that mean?
当我们听到这个名词无我，啊，又讲说身外的东西也不是真实的，我们听了很多遍，总是有这种。反应就是说，我明明有在这里啊，那没有别人，那他们就在我这个前面呢。到底，即使不管听了多少遍佛法这样子的观念，还是有这种反应。
I think we can just illustrate this. Use an analytical approach first to illustrate it. And we could say that the Chan Meditation Center.You know, of course, all of you thought about coming to CMC this morning, right? If you didn't think about coming here, you wouldn't have come. So you first think about coming, well, there's a Dharma talk happening at the Chan Meditation Center. But then we could say, at this point, now that you're here, where is the Chan Meditation Center?
Now, 我们用比喻来解释一下。比如说大家今天来坐在这里来禅中心听讲佛法，第一个你必须要想有这种想要听佛法的这个来禅中心听佛法的这个想法。然后你现在来到这里了，请问禅中心在哪里？
Now, can we point to the Chan Center now that we're here?When we were down the road, for example, if you were walking with someone for the first time and they say, well, where is it? Where's CMC? You say, oh, it's down there. And we look at it and we see, there it is. There's the building. There's the sign. We see the sign, Chan Meditation Center. We see the familiar building. Oh, that's the Chan Center. But now that we're here, can we point to anything here and say that this is the Chan Center? Is this wall the Chan Center? Or maybe this sound system?Or what about the people? Are the people inside here the Chan Center? Or what is the Chan Center? We could say, well, the whole building is the Chan Center. But what's the whole building? We're inside the building. The whole building is made up of what? Different things, different parts. You can't say that any one part is the Chan Center. You say the whole thing, but that's just another term. The whole thing is just many different parts.Many different pieces. And of course, you know, if you think about it, if there were no people, would this Chan Center exist? Would it have any function of being a Chan Center if it didn't have us coming here to practice? So using this analytical approach, we can see that this no self is negating the fact that there's some kind of isolated, independent something. But actually,What we call Chan Center is not a something. It's not a dependent, independent thing. It's just a name for a bunch of different elements that are combined together.
比如说比喻这个禅中心，问句话说禅中心在哪里？但如果你没在这个禅中心里面，还走在路上啊，你会人家问你这句话说哦，你会只说哦，禅中心就在那边。那你现在进来了，那问再次问句话，禅中心在哪里？那你怎么解释呢？难道你只说这个墙吗？那墙只是禅中心的一部分呢，或者是这个音响系统，或者是坐在这里的人？所以你怎么 怎么指你都不能够很完整的指说这个是就是禅中心。所以也就是说无我，他这个意思是说缺少了一个什么，那缺少的是什么东西呢？缺少了这种独立存在啊、永远不变的这个因素，这个就是我们所谓的这个无我，它这个缺少的这个东西。也就是说像禅宗，用禅宗心来比喻，禅宗心如果今天没有我们这些人坐在这里听佛法的话，那它能存在吗？因为没有我们听佛法的话，那禅宗心它的 功用在哪里呢？是不是？那如果没有我们这些人在这边，而且没有这些其他任何一部分存在的话，那这个禅宗心会叫禅宗心吗？也就是说今天有这个禅宗心，它禅宗心的组成是各种不同部分加起来的、哦、可以叫禅宗心。
So we could say that the Chan Meditation Center, this idea or this thought, we would call this a perception. And there's nothing wrong with it in itself, because againWe thought about the Chan Center and it brought us here. We could hear a Dharma talk and hopefully gain benefit from it. And again,、if I didn't think about the Chan Center, then how would I get here? I'd just be maybe just lying in bed at DDRC. What should I be doing today? I'm not sure. So the perception itself is not something bad or not something we shouldn't use, but actually the term Wang Nian or misperception refers to the fact thatWe mistake these ideas or we mistake these thoughts for some actual object, and this creates vexations.
所以所谓的妄念呢是一种错误的看法，对于这个自我很周遭的一切人事物的一种错误的看法。那就举例这个刚刚讲的这个禅宗心，可是这个想法本身它没有所谓的好或是不好、啊、如果今天我没有说要来禅宗心的这个想法的话，我就不会坐在这边，那我还可能还在这个向刚道场、啊、还不知道今天要做什么，就是因为我有这种想法、啊、浮现在我的脑子说我来禅宗心的这个想法，所以我今天坐在这里。所以说这个想法本身没有好坏，而妄念呢只是说对于这些认知，对于我们所接触到的一些人事物的一些错误的认识。
And how does this create vexation? Well, we can then talk about the next part of the term Paramita、Bolomi. And、this term Paramita actually means to the other shoreReaching the other shore, going to the other shore. And, you know, what other shore? Well, it's going to the shore away from this place of vexation, arriving at a place where there's no vexation, there's no misperception, there's no suffering.
那因为有妄念，因为有对于事物的一些错误的这个看法呢，所以我们就会引起一些身心上的一些烦恼。那那佛法教我们的下一个字，那个摩诃般若波罗蜜的这个波罗蜜的这个三个字的意思就是到彼岸。那到彼岸也就是说用什么方法能够让我们到彼岸，到一个彼岸呢，让我们能够没有烦恼，能够没有这种错误的这个看法还有妄念。
But before we talk about the other shore, it's, you know, crucial to talk about this shoreWhich shore am I on now? If we don't know which shore we're on, we won't know how to get across to the other shore. And in talking about what this shore means, Master Huainang uses the term, which is another Buddhist term, and it's called arising and perishing.
那如果我们要想要到彼岸，我们要先知道我们现在站在这一岸到底是什么。我们要先了解我们现在的这一案是什么样一个情况呢？那六祖慧能用的一个词生灭两个字来解释这一案的现象。
And so what is arising and perishing? Of course, arising and perishing refers to the arising and falling of vexations within our minds. That's what Vishura is. And he uses an analogy which is quite wonderful. He uses the analogy of water. And he says, arising and perishing is like the water, which is very chaotic, a lot of waves on it. Very chaotic or, what's the word, tumultuous? Water. And he said, the other shore, freedom from vexation, is like water which is not only still, but interesting, in the Platform Sutra he uses, it's like water which is smoothly flowing. Water which is still could be what? It could be nice. Water that's still could be nice, but it could also be what? Stagnant. Smelly. Stale. So it's not just still water. It's water which is smoothly flowing.
生灭呢，也就是说，无时无刻这个烦恼的心生，烦恼的心灭，啊，这就是我们在现在说在当下我们现在这一案的这个情况，就是慧能用的这两个字生灭，也就是针对我们这个身心的一些烦恼上的一些起伏来解释来形容啊。那同时他用水啊来做更深入的一种。比喻啊，所谓这个水呢，这个我们现在所站的这一岸的水，就好像是随时起伏不变啊，大水冲浪这样子，一直不动，不断的在那里上上下下的哈、啊。那那对岸到彼岸的那个水呢，它是一个很安静，可是呢不是死水，安静，然后可是一直在不断的流，啊，很平静的在流的这样子的水。
So, this analogy I think we can all relate to, in that this mind of vexation is a mind filled with thoughts. Not that thoughts or perceptions themselves are bad, again, they're very useful. But when our mind is filled with them, when our mind is burdened by them, and when our mind has constant waves, one after another, of these perceptions, this is vexation. And I think we all experience this, whether it's big waves,or whether it's smaller waves, we often find that the state of our mind is something which is out of control and chaotic, or in the very least, it's just agitated. We're unable to find this settledness.
所谓这个烦恼心，啊，用这个水来比喻，就好像我们这个烦恼心，我们的心无时无刻充满了这些杂念、妄念、想法，各种不同的想法，从来没有停过。啊，我们这个心随时就好像这个水上面的一些波浪，随时都在那起伏。啊，我们就会被这些我们对我们所身心反现出来的一些想法、看法、观念，啊，受到这些影响到身心的这些不安宁啊，身心的起烦恼啊，或者是有一种会。好像失去控制，或者是觉得很急躁，这些所有的这个心理上的一些反应啊，就是因为我们的心无时无刻都在那边浮动不已。
So this 妄念 or misperception, you could say because we attach to our perceptions, and the sutra Master Huineng uses 着境 this term, when we attach to perceptions.When we attach to situations also external to us, like our environment, our mind becomes chaotic. This is 妄念, or misperception. And, on the other hand, if we can have a mind which is unburdened by these perceptions, a mind which is like smoothly flowing water, this is leaving behind vexation and going to the other shore.I think this is very clear and something very easy to understand.
另外一个名词，慧能大师用的这个解释这个妄念的情况，就是所谓的叫做着境，也就是说，对于我们身心上起的一些反应，产生执着， 然后不能够放掉它。那所谓的到彼岸呢，也就是说能够对这些错误的观念这些不真实的一些现象看法呢，把它放掉它，然后就好像这个水呢变成一个很平稳一直流动的这样子不起浮躁的这种不起波浪的这样子的水，就好像就是到彼岸的这个意思，就是说放掉这些执着，放掉这些对身心起反应的这些妄念。
So I think this is quite clear, this term, Maha Prajna Paramita. Maha meaning great, Prajna meaning wisdom, Paramita meaning going to the other shore, arriving at the shore of wisdom.
所以这个摩诃般若波罗蜜这一句这个名词现在大家应该很清楚了。摩诃就是很广大般若的意思就是智慧，波罗蜜的意思就是到彼岸。
And I think many of you have heard another term which describes this other shore. It's especially popular in the Chan school. The Chinese is called 明心见性. The English is illuminating the mind and seeing the nature. Have many of you heard this? 见性. You must have heard it.
另外一个名词解释这个到这个另外一岸的那个情况，就是所谓的明心见性大家应该是不是有听过这个见性，明心见性这个词。
And often throughout the sutra, Master Huinan says, all you have to do is see your self nature. All you have to do is see your Buddha nature. All you have to do is see your fundamental nature. Perceive your fundamental mind. This is used again and again throughout this sutra. And actually,because this is used, because of the terminology, it may immediately trigger something in us in that we think, well, okay, I should practice. I should practice not having these wandering thoughts, not being ignorant, not attaching to my perceptions, and then I will see my self nature. And it must be wonderful, actually. It must be bright. It must be wondrous. It must be limitless, like space.I can see it now. I can almost feel it. I think it's quite natural that just by reading this terminology and the fact that you say, just have to see it, many of us may generate this kind of, again, a misunderstanding of what seeing the nature means.
明心见性，怎么明心见性呢？就是大师说，无时无刻就在这个自信上，无时无刻就见自己的佛性他就一直这样说，那感觉就好像说，好，那我今天就试着这个能够练习修行到没有这个执着，然后没有烦恼，好像有一个东西我就可以得到一个什么，这个东西好像感觉是很这种很明亮，很有光好像我已经有一点这样子的感觉了。这样子好像读在这个文字上好像会有这样子的一种反应。
And maybe for some people who have quite an affinity with Buddhist teachings, they've been surrounded by them, and you know, every day seeing Buddha statues, Buddha pictures, maybe they may think, Buddha nature. It's probably when I see the Buddha, when I'm enlightened, I'll see the Buddha will come down and congratulate me.Good job, son and daughter. You've practiced well. This is seeing the nature. This must be it.
那有些人呢，他修行呢，他对一些可能这些佛像或一些这些画被就是常常会接触到，所以他会这样想如果见到自己的佛性，是不是那个时候呢？如果我真的见到自己的佛性，那时候那个。佛呢就会显现出来，然后在我的面前，然后摩顶就说你真的是见性到了，是不是这样子？
It's possible that people have religious experiences of this, who they actually see what appears to be in midair or within their mind. They see images of the Buddha spontaneously appear. And it's possible they may think, is that it? Have I seen the nature? And just the same on Chan retreats, Chan practitioners, it's possible they may not be so connected to the images of Buddhism, with these pictures, statues, but for them they have other kinds of experiences, even just experiences of feeling all of a sudden the weight of the body disappearing, feeling light, almost like floating. Or they may experience that all of a sudden they open their eyes after sitting, wherever they look, it's just bright, so bright, beautiful. Even the person who I thought was ugly yesterday, today, they're beautiful. There's a light shining from them. And this person, after having this experience, which could be very powerful, could also very likely feel that, is this it? Have I seen the nature? How could this not be seeing the nature?
事实上，这些就是佛教徒对这个佛就是崇拜佛，就是很内心呢，就是信仰很深的这些信众呢，事实上有的时候会在空中看到一些这个画形象感觉就说就是佛像，然后或者是有一些一些起了一些画像，会在他们的心中浮现出来。然后这个时候呢，这个佛教徒呢，可能就会觉得这个是不是就是见佛性了另外呢，修禅的一些人呢，这些修行者呢，他们可能没有这些具体的这个佛的这个佛这个形象浮现出来，他们在他们修行的过程中，可能他们经验的是，就是说突然呢有一天做的好像身心好像就觉得这整个的这个重量就不见了，非常的轻松或者是说做完以后呢，做好一支香以后起来，感觉这个四周都充满了光每一个人都是这么美昨天看得很讨厌的人，今天好像觉得他也是特别的美就是有这种现象他会这样想说我是不是见性了。
Have you ever experienced that?
在座的有这种经验吗？
Well, it's just because that some people have had this experience. It's possible that they have that experience often, especially with sitting meditation.Or especially with engaging in Buddhist practice, Dharma services, chanting, that Master Huineng goes on to say that no, this is not seeing the nature.
其实这种现象当发生会发生其实不止一次会发生的话会一直不断的会发生。那有些人在做法会上呢看到这些佛菩萨的一些影像或者是见光禅坐者见光，或是这种现象会不断的发生这些是见性吗？慧能大师说不是。
And also for the people who haven't had these experiences, for us who actually may be quite motivated by these experiences, thinking that if I just see the Buddha, if I just see it and everything will be okay, if I just see my own natureHow do I see it? How do I get through my vexation to see it? Very naturally, because we're so used to attaching to perceptions in the first place, we start to attach to a new perception of the nature, and so we may seek to see it or seek to realize it. And again, for these kinds of people, Master Huineng will say, don't be fooled. These forms are also not the nature.This is not what you should be seeking.
事实上，这个追求这些身心上的一些反应在这个佛法修行上的过程来讲，慧能大师说是一种执着。比如说，以前呢是 执着一些烦恼上一些身心上的反应，现在呢是一种新的一种执着，执着出要见性这个想法啊，这是一个执，也是一种执着。所以说对于这个谈经上讲说，所有的各种形象出来的这个色相都不是见性。
And the line which he says in the sutra is that wisdom has no form or appearance. It's just the mind of wisdom. So wisdom itself has no form, no sign or characteristic. It's just the mind of wisdom.
那禅经上讲呢，般若无形相，智慧心即是。你说这智慧本身是没有形象的，也没有所谓的这个这种能够解释它的一些这个条件。
Then what is mind? We may have that question. What is this mind that Master Huineng keeps talking about? And I was actually troubled by this for a very long time. What is this mind? What is this mind of wisdom? What should I expect to see?How do I see it?
下一句话就是，那到底这个心是什么呢？我看禅经的时候，就起了这个疑问。这个疑问在我的心里蛮久的，我就是问说，到底这个心是什么呢？这智慧心到底是什么呢？我怎么能够开这个智慧心呢
？And I'd like to share a story with everyone of my experience, one encounter I had with Shifu.Which was just a little bit after I had become a monk, maybe a few months afterwards, and I returned here to the States. And at that time, I was, you know, reading sutras, reading about Chan practice, trying to figure it all out. And I happened to be that day outside doing chores. I think I was picking up leaves or sticks, something like that, sweeping by the dining hall at the retreat center.And Sifu was out taking his walk. He would take daily walks around the campus to look around at things, check up on people. And I happened to, Sifu happened to come by, looking at what I was doing, and I grabbed the opportunity to ask him a question about the Dharma.
Sifu 就想跟大家分享一下，一个发生在我自己身上的一个故事。就是在我出家之后没有几个月，我就回到美国香港道场上。那个时候呢，我每天就在读经，同时也参加一些禅修的活动。那有一天呢，我正好在这个禅堂斋堂，在斋堂打扫。在好像在捡那些落叶在捡落叶，那师父正好他就也来到禅堂。师父每天呢他都会巡逻这个整个这个就是散步哈，同时也会问大家就是问大家做的怎么样，或是有什么事情就是观问大家哈。那正好那一天他也来到了禅堂。那我就想借用这个机会哈，问师父这个问题。
And师父 said, "So how are you doing?" I said, "Fine." 师父 ，What does mind mean?
师父问我说：“你好吗？”我说：“好。”师父，这个智慧心是什么意思
？So I was reading all of these Chan teachings to see your mind to.Perceive your self nature. What is mind? I said, Shifu, can you explain that to me or can you teach me? He said, sure. And he said, come here. I said, okay. So I walk next to him. And he goes, you see that over there? Look over there. And I look to the right. And over on that side of the dining hall is a marsh. You know, the marsh with the tall grass.What do you call that? The, with the puffy things on the top?
Cattails.
Cattails, yeah. So I looked over there and I saw the cattails, this tall grass flowing in the wind. I said, you mean that tall grass over there? He said, yeah, that tall grass over there. I said, yes, that. He said, what is that? I said, tall grass? I said, no, it's emptiness.
Sifu说, 到底这个心是什么呢？到底这个佛性是什么呢？你可不可以解释给我听？师父说可以。我说你过来，我就带着他，我就跟着师父，然后师父就用手指旁边右边的那个芦苇，一片的芦苇，然后就说，看那边，那个是什么？师父这样问我，我说。高高的草，师父说不对，那是空。
Do you get it?
No.
Thank you. Is Bob speaking for everybody?
你懂了吗 ？Bob 说不懂。
I didn't get it either.
我也没有。我也不懂。
And so then Shifu went on to explain, since I wasn't awakened by his teaching. And I won't go into what he was explaining in detail, but he basically started to explain what we just talked about before, the principles of we mistake something to be some kind of object itself, some kind of permanent thing, some kind of separate thing.Separate from everything else. Shifu went on to say things like, well, you could call it that, you could call it grass, you could call this thing on the ground here, he pointed to a small flower, he said, this is a flower, sure, but what about tomorrow, when the petals wilt? Is it still a flower? Or when it completely wilts and dies, is it a flower then? He started to talk about impermanence.Also started to talk about the different relationships between these things and how a flower depends on many different things at this moment for it to be a flower, etc. And he described basically the essential principles of Buddhism. But his main point was pointing out that I had the misperception. Instead of just looking and seeing that, what he was pointing to, my mind immediately generated an idea.An image, and then, this is tall grass. But maybe if it was a scientist, he'd probably say, that's not that kind of grass, it's a different kind of grass. So, in that respect, it was possibly a misperception in terms of scientific fact. But either way, the mind is grasping onto something we perceive, adding a name. And so we feel that it's permanent. We feel that it's also separate. And so this is...ignorance.
因为我师父问我懂了吗？我跟他说不懂，所以师父就继续解释。我不想在这里花长时间把所有师父讲的都讲出来。简单的就是说，师父接着就跟我说，事实上，这个他解释这个佛法无常的道理，也就是说，今天这个草存在不是它本身。就是这个东西可以存在，自己本身可以存在，必须要借由各种因缘因素，它今天才能够存在这个样子。那他又指下面的花，地上的花，他说这个花明天会这个样子吗？事实上明天也会变，因为各种情况变的时候呢，这个花就不是现在我看到这个花的情况。也就是说，今天师父帮助我的就是说，他当问我说那是什么的时候呢，我马上我的头脑马上就浮现出一个，马上就抓住一个名词来啊，高的草啊，这个我马上抓住这个，也就是一直有这个高的草，好像就是说这个草跟我是分开的，是不相关的啊，这个草本身有它自己本身独立存在的因素啊，所以师父就解释让我知道啊，我这种对这个错误的观念啊，这就是我们众生的无明。
So getting back to seeing the nature, how does this relate to seeing the nature? And Shifu, and how does this relate to seeing the mind or perceiving our fundamental mind? And Shifu was pointing out, the same as Master Huineng pointed out, that seeing the nature or seeing your mind is not seeing something. It's not seeing some kind of special mind or seeing some kind of nature. But it's actually perceiving without being confused by our ideas, our words, our perceptions. And the phrase here is used, at that instant that all deluded thoughts are extinguished. Again, meaning the instant that we don't have these misperceptions, the instant that we actually experience the fact that whatever we encounter is impermanent, it's without a self, and Buddhism calls empty, not just thinking about that, but experiencing it because of the falling away of our grasping at ideas and perceptions. At that very moment, that is what seeing the nature is. It's the absence of this misperception.
那这个见性到底是什么呢？见性并不表示看到了什么东西，或者是能够有一个这种能够了悟这个佛法这个观念啊，不是说能够抓住一些什么字名词啊一些观念，见性。这个在《坛经》上讲，他是这么说的：刹那间妄念俱灭，这个时候就是见性。也就是说，在这个当下，我们不再去对一些人事物执着、错误起这样子的一种反应的时候，这个当下我们直接体验到空性，这个时候就是见性。
So simply put, it's not that we see something when we see the nature. It's not that we see some kind of mind when we realize wisdom. But it's just the absence of misperception, mistaken perceiving.
再重复一下，不是说看到了什么东西，或是见到了什么现象，而是在一种空调抓取的这种当下直接体验到空，这就是见性。
And so at this point, Master Huineng has finished speaking of the proper attitude towards practice. So this can give us an attitude of not seeking.
现在就是右祖慧能就讲到，就是说给我们一种修行的一种正确的态度，这个态度。用一个名词就是无求，就是不去抓取什么东西，不想去特别这个见到什么东西。
And next he goes on to talk about the method, which I think you may be waiting for. After understanding this much, what's the method of practice? What's the method of seeing one's nature, realizing wisdom?
接下来也许大家现在就是想知道的就是方法，怎么样用什么方法能够让我见性呢？
And to use the master's words, he said, well, in one instance, this is actually from a different chapter, if you remember when he met with Hui Ming, another monk, he said, neither think of good or bad. In another place,He emphasizes not to use words or language. So, for example, if we use this in a sitting meditation situation, the method is just to very simply not generate thoughts about either wholesome things, unwholesome things, not to judge anything as being good or bad, and not to make use of words and language, not to make use of perceptions.
方法呢，他在其他章上有解释，比如说，那个将军，那个慧明将军想要去拿这个 信物的时候那一段故事，大家可能也很清楚，也就是说不思善 不思恶，仁者当下，这个是什么，这个他有这个故事，他又讲就是说不假文字，同时又说百物不思空心，百物不思不取不舍，这些名词在上面他讲说以智慧观照于一切法，不取不舍，即是见性成佛道。这个就是一种，这是在谈经上讲的，就是如何用方法能够让我们见性，也就是说不起错误的这种观念，不就是说不去执着在修行当中呢，什么事情你的身心上的一些反应呢，不去抓取它，这个就是一个方法。
So to just to put it again simply, the method, since we're usually attaching to our thoughts all the time, one after the other, the method you do is just don't generate thoughts. Can you sit there without thinking about anything, good or bad? That's the approach. Very simple.
这方法简单的说，就是说当你在打坐修行的时候呢，不要对这个各种起的一些观念呢执着它，就是说不起念，就是练习不起念，这个方法简单的说就是谈经上讲的方法。
And I think to say it's very simple, of course, but it may be quite difficult to just sit, not think of anything good or bad, but without falling asleep, or without just following all of our thoughts and daydreaming constantly. It's easy to say, but it may be quite difficult for us to do. But still, we could see it as kind of a practice, and this is in the context of sitting meditation.
说起来很简单，就是坐在那里什么都不想，念头来了也不去管它，那不思善也不思恶，那也不这个做白日梦，那就坐在那里，听起来好像很简单，其实不容易，可是这当下就是修行。
It's basically just the practice of not burdening ourselves with thoughts and ideas. A lot of the stuff that we talk about, sometimes it may seem very complicated, or, you know, it just doesn't sink in. Well, that's fine. The practice, you could say, is not burdening our mind with ideas, not burdening our mind with thoughts.
简单的说就是说，不要对自己的一些想法观念束缚住了，或是自己被他们所干扰。
And so, in terms of daily life, how do we apply this? I was also very perplexed by this. Because of course in daily life we have to use thoughts, right? We have to have ideas, especially if we're involved in work which is quite complicated. It requires a lot of thought, involved in education, academics, we're thinking all the time. So does this mean that we should get rid of thoughts altogether?
可是这个方法如何能够用在这个日常生活中呢？因为我们日常生活的时候我们要做事啊，我们做事的时候我们要跟人相处，要应对这些都是要起一些想法，都我们随时随刻都会起一些想法观念看法跟人相处的时候，那怎么样能够让我们又不起这些想法呢？这个好像是不太好像不太对的事。
And it's important to know that with this teaching, he also emphasized it's not about getting rid of thoughts forever. It's not about suppressing thoughts, but it's about skillfully using our mind. In daily life, skillfully using our thoughts, using our ideas. And how do we skillfully use our minds? Well, you could say we often use our minds unskillfully. And for example, was just talking to a fellow practitioner, and they were saying how frustrated they felt at not being able to do something. That they were given this task, but they're not really familiar with how to do it. It's something quite new to them. They're not so familiar with computers. So doing this task was frustrating. They couldn't do it. They didn't know what they did wrong. And this became a vexation for them. And they shared this with us. And well, then we suggested, well, do you have to feel frustrated? You know, not being able to accomplish the task is one thing, that's for sure. If you can't do it, you just can't do it. Is there a need for frustration? Or is frustration useful? You could say, well then, to skillfully use our mind in this situation, even if we're given a task which is, it seems, beyond us, beyond our capabilities, we can't avoid it, nobody else wants to do it, but we have to undertake this task. What can we do? Well, of course we just do whatever we can to the best of our ability, and even if we can't complete the task, even if we so-called fail, it's fine. It's just not working. And so that frustration part, all those thoughts of, how come I can't just do this, or how come I'm not able to succeed in this? Those, you could say, become our deluded thoughts. Those become our vexations. That becomes our arising and perishing. All we need to do is recognize that, and just we put aside those kinds of thoughts. So in this way, we're taking the burden off the mind and just doing what we can do.
这个方法并不是叫我们呢没有念头，而是说怎么能够在运用佛法的观念，很技巧的用我们的心然后起什么样的这个念头就是用什么心来处理我们这个念头。比如说有一些同修帮忙道场上做一些事情，他就说：“哎呀，我真的是心里实在是很烦躁，这个事情我实在是不会做哈，因为这个电脑我也不懂也不知道怎么处理真的是很烦躁，让我真的是很无可奈何。”那我就问他说：“你这个烦躁的心必须要有吗？虽然说。”你这件事情给你做一件事情你可能在技巧方面可能还不熟悉，不知道真的怎么去做在技巧方面不知道怎么去做，可是呢因为现在这一件事情交给你了，那你是其他没有人可以交给这件事情的，你是唯一的人，那你就尽你的力量尽你的自己所知能够把这件事情做好，那至于说能不能够完成这件事情呢，那你已经尽你的力量了，不管是做得好不管是做得坏可是你这个心这个心理上的这些情绪这个烦躁的情绪呢你可以不让它起来，这个就是能够就是很能够用这个用方法能够帮助这个人能够同样是处理一件事情，他还是要用，还要起一些想法，还要想跟别人沟通。可是这个情绪上的这个负面的情绪呢，让他起烦恼的这个情绪呢，他可以能够摆出他不需要起来。这个就是所谓的用这个方法在生活上。
And there's one phrase that Shifu would often say in talking about this kind of approach.To daily life. In daily life, I'll say the Chinese first, because it's kind of, it sounds nice. He would say, 你要动你的心，不要动你的烦恼心。It means you need to use your mind, but just don't vex your mind. You need to apply your mind, but just don't trouble your mind. I guess I did her work there, huh? And so what's the result of this kind of practice? Now, what is the result of using this approach to sitting with daily life? And Master Huineng uses a phrase like this. If you can practice this way, you'll be always free and at ease, with no obstructions in your minds.
那如果今天我们都能够照着像慧能大师教我们的这些这些信心观念态度方法来用在生活上呢，那什么样的结果会有呢？他是这么说的，我们就会去来自由，心体无滞。
And not only that, but we'll have limitless ways, limitless insightful ways to deal with all the problems and all the situations that we face in our daily life.
不但如此呢，我们也会从一般若而生八万四千智慧，处理各种不同的人与事。
It's also like in the Heart Sutra, the one line, 心无挂碍, a mind without any obstructions. It's just the result of the practice. And a mind without any thoughts, it's a mind without any obstructions. And this is wisdom.
同时也是在心经上讲的心无挂碍，并不表示说头脑空空的都没有什么念头，而是说没有烦恼。
So I hope today's Dharma sharing was useful for everyone. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you remember some of it, and of course can apply some of it. And if you're interested in more of the detail of the method part, how to use the method, especially in sitting meditation or in intensive practice, well then I encourage everyone to come to retreat. We have a silent illumination retreat at the Dharma Jam Retreat Center coming upMay 20th. And this is a 10-day retreat, and for those people who have some retreat experience. So if you're interested, you can check it out online. And in this way, you can have 10 days to absorb these teachings and apply them, and be even more well-equipped to use them in daily life.
希望大家觉得今天这一场的这个演讲能够对大家有帮助，同时希望大家也希望大家是法喜充满的，不但是这样子能够把听到的佛法运用在你的日常生活上，如果真正的想要真的进一步知道怎么样能够再深入的应用呢，我欢迎大家来参加这个禅修。那在香港道场呢，5月20号我们有一个开始10天的这个默照禅，那这10天里面呢，你能够就在方法观念上会更深入的再去练习，我希望大家鼓励大家都能够报名参加。那这个禅修呢，是对于一些就是已经在禅修上已经有一段基础的人是比较适合的。
But if this 10 days sounds very scary, and 10 days of meditation, that's fine. We have lots of other shorter activities. We have one-day retreats, and also you're welcome just to come up and visit and attend some of our weekly practice in which we talk about these methods and concepts of Chan. So actually there's something for everyone there.
事实上这个时间听起来好像对这些初学者好像觉得很害怕的事情哈。香港道场其实也有一天的禅修，也有各种不同的这个禅修活动，同时也欢迎大家来参观，大家来一起共修。
So,
we'll recite
the verse on transferring the merit.
现在我们结束之前，我们诵这个回向偈。
So please join palms.
请合掌。
May the virtuous merits adorn and glorify the pure land of the Buddhas.
Outwardly, we repay the four layers of gratitude,
downwardly we alleviate the sufferings of the three destinies. May those who see and hear the Dharma generate Bodhi mind. Exhausting this body of retribution, may we be born in the land of supreme bliss. 愿以此功德庄严佛净土，上报四重恩，下济三途苦。若有见闻者，悉发菩提心，尽此一报身，同生极乐国。
And also thank the translator, Echo, for doing a wonderful job.
Please pass the handouts to the center aisle so we can collect them. Center aisle. Please rise.请合掌周友旁，我们向上一问讯告，我们向法师一问讯告。Please remain in your seat until 常文法师 leave the Chen Hall. 各位请相对站 face the center aisle.我们恭送常文法师出坛。请各位帮忙收拾场地，所以我们可以进行舞光。Please help us to clean up the area. So we're going to take the first three rows, 18 chairs in the area, and please bring those other chairs down to the